And so when I think, and I mentioned Ian McCormack last week, something of his testimony, and this is why we're looking at it this morning. Is heaven real? We spoke about, does hell exist, last week, and if you missed it, you're welcome to hear it online. But this is a picture, actually a very young prodigy, child prodigy artist who painted that. Her name's Akiana. You can look her up on YouTube. From the age of 4, she started painting visions that she had, some of them of heaven, and this was one of them, with such incredible vibrant colors, and just I love the richness of that picture. And then, you know, she's also picked at the age of 8. We'll see at the very end of the preach a picture of Jesus that she painted at the age of 8. Incredible. And so when I look at this testimony of Ian McCormack, and I was listening to it again, and I do encourage you to listen to the full testimony, especially the one from 1988, because that was, you know, just quite soon after, some years just after it had happened. But he, as I mentioned, he was, after his life slipped away, he was stung by this box jellyfish, and his whole testimony is called A Glimpse of Eternity, and that's what the jellyfish is. It's the second most deadly toxin in the world, and one sting can kill you in 15 minutes. I think he got stung 4 or 5 times on his arm, like right where his veins are, and so he was dying, and he was fighting for every breath, for every moment, he fought for his life, and ultimately in the ambulance, if you could call it an ambulance, he was taken in this vehicle on like a stretcher. They'd just taken the front seat out. He was in Mauritius, and he was heading up to the hospital, and he said a deathbed prayer, but it had to say it from the heart, because the Lord was saying to him, you can't pray even the Lord's prayer from your head. It has to be from your heart. And you know, get forgive me, or as I forgive those. And then the Lord said to me, are you prepared to forgive this person or that person? And that was major for him, because that one person had thrown him into the dirt outside a hotel, and the hotel owners had refused to help him. And even then, he was having to deal with those things. And as he finished, and he said, Lord, your will. I don't know what your will is, but I'm prepared to do it. And a peace came over him. That he was still dying, but he had this incredible peace. And as he was in this place, and as I mentioned, he slipped into eternity as they had put in antitoxins and etc. And he was fighting to keep his eyes open, and eventually just felt everything just leave. And he was in this absolute, utter pitch darkness. He doesn't know how to describe it, as I mentioned last week. And he was like, where am I? And he got these impressions of voices around him. Shut up. Don't disturb our peace. You deserve to be here. And he felt so fearful, absolute dread. He said, you know, when you go down a dark alley and you think, oh my goodness, who's looking at me? Somebody's looking at me. He had this impression of other spirit beings looking at him. And he went, and his hand went, and he couldn't see his hands. And his hands went through his head. He thought, I'm here in a form, in my physical human form, but I'm not. I'm obviously in another form, a spiritual form. And then he said, but God, I cried out to you. And at that moment, this light, he just said, was this pathway of light shone into that darkness, and he was beginning to move up. And he said, it was like the source of all light at the end of that tunnel, and waves of light. He said every wave had an emotion. The first wave was just warmth and comfort. And it, as it washed over him, he just felt this incredible love. Just the warmth and the comfort. And then the next wave was peace. He said he had looked for peace his whole life. He had searched for it, and it was so momentary, whether it was through poetry or whether it was through alcohol, drugs or sexual experience, whatever, he had found just momentary pleasure and peace. But then eventually he felt the next wave, which was joy, and he spoke about each wave. Eventually he's in the source of this incredible light, and he starts to remember some verses, he had read a Christmas card, and on that Christmas card it had said, God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. And he thought, I'm in the presence of God. Because is this just yin and yang? Is this just the force of the universe? Is this God? I'm in the presence of God. And then he suddenly thought, he can see everything. And he said, I'm unworthy of being in your presence. And he tried to hide. And at that moment, the love, he said, the most pure, unadulterated, beautiful love washed over him. And the more he protested, the more this love washed over him again and again and again. And in the midst of this, he's thinking, can I see you? If you could love me this much, could I see you? And he starts to step into this light. and step towards her, and he sees the form of a man. And maybe you could just, that's pretty much, he says he couldn't see his face because no one can look upon the Lord and live, but he was just looking at this incredible light. And it's like, as he said, it was God. I'm in the presence of God. And if you just go back to the scriptures, one back, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And in hindsight, he started to understand some of these truths as he ultimately got to read the Bible some time later. But he just, even that I'm sending you to open the eyes that may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, in order that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who've been saved by faith, delivered us from the dominion of darkness. So these were the truths that he ultimately understood later. But then he thought, this is it. This is what I've been waiting for my whole life. If you could love me this much. And he stepped further and further. And then the Lord stepped aside and he got this glimpse of eternity. He said he grew up in New Zealand. He said it could have been a little bit of heaven on earth. He said the beauty of New Zealand. But even then there was dock and thistle and thorns and all sorts of things. You know, it wasn't perfect. But he said it was a little bit of heaven on earth. And he said, but this was like the light that he was experiencing from the God of light. God is light. It was like each blade of grass would spring back. Everything was just resilient and resounding, and light was just emanating from everything. He's like, goodbye, sad, sorry world. I'm going in. What is there to go back to? I've found everything I've been looking for. And then the Lord stepped back in front of him because he is the way. And he just said, Ian, do you wish to return? And he's like, return to what? And he looked over and then almost as like a goodbye, and he saw his mother, a praying woman. And at this very moment, she was praying in New Zealand for him. Had been woken up in the night, and you can hear her testimony as well. It woke her husband up and said, there's something that we need is wrong with Ian. And her husband, oh no, you'll be all right. You know, you'll be all right. But she was praying. And at that moment, she responded and in prayer, praying for her boy. Thank God for praying moms. I had a praying dad. I'm being happy today because of a praying dad. To encourage you, keep praying. And as that moment, he was, saw his mom and thought, it's going to break her heart. She's going to think I've gone to hell. Because his last words to his mom around faith was when he was confirmed. And he said, I don't know. God's never spoken to me. Why is God, you know, is he real? And she said, well, maybe because there's pride in your heart that you haven't heard God speak to you. But no matter where you go, Ian, no matter what you do, you cry out to God from your heart, he will hear you and he will forgive you. Those words, friends, came back to him when he was dying in the ambulance. Those words enabled him to call on the Lord as he was dying. And that's what made the difference, really, in his deathbed prayer. So why I say all of that is that he did. And the Lord said, how do I return? Because he thought, I've got to tell my mom what she believes is true. She's going to think I've gone to a lost eternity. He said, just tilt your head and let the liquid drain from your eye and open your eye. He could only open one eye. He still had all these paralysis toxins in his body. And because he moved his head and opened his eye, he was in the mortuary, or on the way to the mortuary. And they dropped his foot. They're busy putting needles in his foot. And the doctor came and just terrified, just looking. I've seen a dead man come back to life. He thinks he was dead about 15 to 20 minutes. But I just say that because you can listen to that testimony. And I want to just, you know, knowing that we will die influences how we will live. And I think you would agree with that. It's a change agent. It encourages us to move out of the old and move into the new, the more godly life choices. And so when we're presented with heaven and we're presented with a future, we've got to think of what heaven is like. And the word that theologians use is the heaven that's existing now is an intermediate heaven. For Christians, it's where we go when we die. It's a place we'll live until our bodily resurrection. And our eternal home is when God will come and dwell among his people. God will be with us. And if you had to describe heaven in 10 statements, which we'll look at quite quickly as we're going to go through some verses, but it's this new earth. He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth, spoken of in Revelation 21:1. I saw a new heaven and new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among his people, Emmanuel, God with us, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Friends, he will wipe away every tear from your eyes and their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. God with us on the new earth. And friends, I've said this from this pulpit, this world is not our home, we're just passing through, we pilgrim people. And I want to qualify, this world, the earth as we now know it, is under a curse. It's not our home, but this world, the earth as it once was, before sin and the curse, was our home. And I would hasten to add, the world, the earth as it one day will be delivered from sin and the curse will be our home. So the first point that I want to say, that scripture that's up there now was the revelation that he had in, this is Ian McCormack's revelation, and he just said that's what he saw. The Son of Man, his head and hair white like wool and it's like snow, and his voice like the sound of many waters, his face was like the sun shining in its strength. And that's the picture that Ian described, was trying to describe. He said he didn't have words to describe it, but this is the closest he could find in the terms of what he experienced. So maybe we can just go on the next first of these 10 statements. If you had to describe in 10 statements what heaven is, friends, it's a place for the redeemed people. And I'm just going to mention the scriptures and go on to the next statement and the next statement. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas is like, he's the one who's doubting. Said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So heaven is a place prepared for the redeemed. It's a precious promise. It's also, as hell is the abode of those who live and die in their sins. So heaven is the final abode of all who are redeemed by the blood of Christ and regenerated by the Holy Spirit. It's a known permanent place where it's said to be the place where God dwells. The place where God dwells. 1 Kings 8:30, hear the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray towards this place. Hear from heaven your dwelling place. And when you hear, forgive. So secondly, the place where God dwells. Thirdly, the city of God. You've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. So it's the place, dwelling place of, it's a place where Christ is in God's presence. Place where Christ is in God's presence. For Christ did not enter the sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself now to appear for us in God's presence. In God's presence. And then fifthly, the dwelling place of angels and saints. See to that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you, their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. In the same way I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Amen. Sixthly, eternal home of all believers. We are confident, I say, and I prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. The eternal home, your and my eternal home, that's what God intended. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. And then a state of perfect love and rest. Friends, heaven is entirely separated from earth's impurities, earth's imperfections, and earth's deceptions. Heaven's a place of worship, of praise, of service, where the redeemed will be forever relieved of sinfulness by him who will be our unending joy. Perfect place, a perfect place from which the unredeemed sinners will be excluded. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful. But only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then the last two, a place where we will see Christ and become more like him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We shall see him as he is. And friends, heaven's glories, or heaven's completeness and glories are indescribable. We declare God's wisdom, a mystery that's been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. Eternity set in the hearts. However it's written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. Hallelujah. Oh God, open our eyes to see. Help us to see through new eyes and a new light. To see as Jesus would want us to see. The glories of heaven. Max Lucado said, we may speak of a place where there are no tears, no death, no fear, no night. But friends, those are only the benefits of heaven. The beauty of heaven is seeing God. It's better by far. To quote Billy Graham, heaven will be a place which its inhabitants will be freed from the fears and insecurities that plague and haunt us in this present life. You and I will be free from the economic and financial pressures that burden us down here, free from the fear of personal or physical harm. There'll be no fear of personal failure. Our relationship with him will be intimate and it will be direct. And I'm looking forward to that glorious day of going to heaven. What a day. What a moment. As Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Better by far. You see, your hope with Christ does not end with this life. It gets better and brighter throughout eternity. To die is gain. If we can't say to live as Christ, we can't say to die as gain. And I've shared this at some memorial services. But what do you and I gain? You gain a better body, a glorified, immortalized, resurrected body. And some people who struggle with their health will be like, amen. Some people who struggle with their weight, amen. Whatever. This frail body is subject to tears. It's subject to sorrows, suffering, sickness. But in death, and the resurrection, we gain a better body, one that can never grow old, can never know disease, can never know suffering and pain, and one that can never die. That's a better body. So you gain a better body, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And then secondly, we gain a better home, a home without sin, suffering, death. And then think of this, friends. It says, before the throne, all ethnos, all people groups, all cultures, all ethnic traits, distinctive ethnic traits will be resurrected. In this new earth, in the middle of the city of God, the New Jerusalem, will be the tree of life, just as it was in the physical Eden. And there will be a wonderful river flowing through that city, but there will also be a variety of fruits, even on the banks of that tree. But we'll eat, we'll drink, we'll work, we'll worship, we'll learn, we'll travel, we'll experience many things we do now. It's not a place where you sit on a cloud and play a harp. I don't know. People, heaven must be boring. I don't want to go up there and just, you know, like twiddle my thumbs. And no, friends, the world is going to be so much what we're looking forward to, Peter says, he says, we've got to look forward to it. Sorry, 2 Peter 3:13 tells us is what we to anticipate and speak of and encourage others with. And God is God, I'm not. But God created the heavens and he created the heavens and the earth. And whether it was a literal 6 days or not, I'm not going to get into an argument. But I do know the Creator took time to make 25,000 types of orchid and 270,000 species of flowers. I think there's 10,000 species of birds and 10,000 species of grass. Did you know that? I just thought there was grass. But there's 10,000 this and 10,000 that. And man, that's going to be incredible. The one who took the time to create that has been spending 2,000 years preparing a place for you and me. It's going to be some place. And Ralph Waldo Emerson said, all I've seen in creation teaches me to trust the Creator for all I've not seen. So every time you look at the perfection of a leaf or a perfection of a snowflake that's got unique, that no other snowflake is ever going to be like it or will be like it. I mean, that's the your fingerprint, unique. Your eye, your retina, unique. Your DNA, unique. The finger, the number of cells in your finger, more than the stars in the universe. I mean, that's, you know, the synapses in your brain, more than sands on the seashore, something like that. I mean, it just boggles our finite understanding. And yet God says we'll gain a better home, and we'll gain a better inheritance. You see your final rewards, not here. If you're working for your rewards here, I'm sorry, you're going to be disappointed. This is all it is, friends. You store it up. I've heard this guy thinking, man, I've worked so hard, and I just can't leave this all behind. So he thinks, well, what's the most valuable commodity? And it's probably titanium. But anyway, he thought, no, gold. I'll put it into gold. So he had these gold bars lined up next to his bed, and his knife was almost over. And he thought, look, you know, please, I need to take these with me when I go. And so what happens is he passes on, and in God's grace and infinite wisdom, he arrives with his sack of gold at the pearly gates. And then Peter's looking at him thinking, what have you got there? So he very proudly opens his sack, and now Peter goes, paving stones. In other words, the streets are lined with gold. You don't need to bring paving stones into heaven. It's like, what are you trying to do? Your whole life to bring a few paving stones. Actually, just leave them at the door. That's already paved. So we gain a beautiful inheritance, or a better inheritance, and we can invest here for a heavenly reward, a heavenly treasure, the reward of faith. And we gain a better fellowship as I pull this together this morning. Friends, you and I, even in this room today, we've experienced loss, family loss, grief, loss of a grandparent and a parent and a dear family member. But within the family of God, there's no loss. There's no death there, no sorrow or crying or pain. The former things have passed away. As we said last week, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. So don't be uninformed. The Bible says, don't be uninformed about those who sleep in death. And it goes on to describe this in Thessalonians. But it says, encourage each other with these words, that we'll be with the Lord forever. That's what we are to encourage in Thessalonians. What an amazing thing to say that we'll see Him face to face. Father, I want to thank You that we see through a glass darkly. It's like some things are veiled to us, Lord. But we will soon see You face to face. In Your glory, King of glory. God, transcendence. Just even that picture of not even being able to look upon Your glory, because it's so transcendent, so incredible, so marvelous, Your majesty, Your glory. And Lord, may we encourage each other of the realities of heaven. May we encourage each other with these truths from Scripture about what's to come, the glories that are to come, the joy, the surpassing joy, the hope that we carry, Christ in us, the hope of glory, the hope of being with You for all eternity, and what that will mean. But also to speak to others about that hope. And if you don't have that hope this morning, if you don't have that blessed assurance, for God so loved you that He gave His only Son, His only begotten Son, that if you believe, you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life, eternal life. That's the truth of the good news in one scripture in John 3:16. Do you have that hope? Can you say, to live is Christ, to die is gain? Can you say that this morning? If you can't say, to live is Christ, to die is gain, His arms are wide, His arms are open. He says, come to Me, you're weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I will be a spring of living water to you. If you thirst this morning, if you're in a dry and thirsty place, He is the spring of living water. He is that will never run dry, that you'll never thirst again, because you've found that which you've been longing for and searching for and unsatisfied with by looking everywhere else. He says he is that this morning. He is the way. He is the truth and the life. Not a way, not a truth, not a life, but the way, the truth, the life. And you could bow your knee to him now voluntarily, or you will bow your knee before him involuntarily. And then if you cannot profess him now, you will not be able to profess him then. So he says, if you confess me before others, I will confess you before my Father. If you're able to speak of him to others now, or be able to, the faith that you have put in him now, he will represent you before the Father. And friends, I would want every person in this room to go out with that assurance. The invitation goes out. It's your response. He's revealing himself to you, even through the scriptures this morning. So if you acknowledge, yes, I'm separate from God because I am a sinner, and that sin has put a separation, has put a chasm between me and him, and I want to ask his forgiveness this morning, won't you do that? Just say, God, even in the Lord's Prayer, Father, forgive me. Forgive me as I choose to forgive others. I choose to forgive those who've sinned against me. I choose to forgive them. And forgive me too, Lord. And then I say, your kingdom, your will. I don't know what that means, but I trust you. Your will this morning and your kingdom. Not mine, yours, Lord. Yours be the kingdom, the power and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.